Welcome to the Center Branch Church Weekly Podcast. We believe that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Thanks so much for checking out the podcast. Here's this week's message.
Father, I thank you for your word. As the word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Lord, I thank you that my speech and my preaching are not made with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but they are in the demonstration of the Spirit of God, that people's faith would not be in my wisdom, but in your power. I thank you, Father, that your word comes alive by the Holy Spirit. And I thank you that eternity, a sense of eternity, would just fill this place even now in the name of Jesus. And if you believe it, say amen. 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 I gotta catch my breath. Okay. Well, we could just keep going right there. How's that? Because we're experiencing times like that summer camp that I was at here in our church. Amen. The power of God is here. The presence of God is here. The Holy Spirit is moving. You can feel him even now. Amen. You can feel him right now in your seat. You can feel him moving on your heart. But I want to say something, because, you know, we keep saying, or people say, just not anybody in this church, amen, but we keep saying, revival is coming, revival is coming. Revival's not coming. It's here now. The very, if we say revival is coming, we take all the responsibility off of us. But the very definition of revival, according to Revelation 2 and 3, the word does not appear in the Bible, but that's where we get the definition of the word revival. It's returning to your first love. It's making the things that Jesus calls first place again in our lives. Amen? Father, whatever purpose is in your heart, whatever it is that you love, I love. Whatever it is that moves your heart, moves my heart. Amen. Amen. But when we get into the presence of God, man, I'll tell you, things start to change. Amen. You may not even realize it. You might just be sitting here in your seat, but I want to tell you something. Things are changing. He's moving things around in your heart. Amen. He's molding things. He's shaping things. He's changing things. He's refocusing things. He's even removing some things. That's not the fun part of revival, but it is an essential part of revival, that God removes some things. What does he remove? He removes our view of ourself and puts our eyes onto his things. Amen. I don't know where I'm at in here. But he begins to move in our hearts. Amen. He begins to impress himself onto our hearts the more time we spend in his presence. Amen. The more we're around Jesus, the more we talk like him. The more we act like him, we speak like him, we work like him. Amen. His very character and his nature, it begins to emanate and to flow through us to other people. Amen. His love becomes so real to us. That's what happens when we spend time in the presence of God. That's what the anointing is. It's his presence manifest. And if he is love, then love manifest. And not his just his love to us, but then his love starts to flow through us to other people. Amen. His love just becomes so real. Even right now, just across this place, you could close your eyes, you can lift your hand, just say, today, Father, I receive your love for me. I receive your love for me fully, without limitation. Without qualification, I receive your love for me. Amen. You can't experience revival without that. You'll be standing on the sidelines. And maybe you're still standing on the sidelines. Maybe you're like, I've seen this revival thing before. I had this in 1992. You know, but hey, like, God's doing something now. God's doing something now. So if you're on the sidelines and you're just looking, I don't know what's going on, I'm going to tell you, come on in. The water's fine. Come on in. Come on in. Step into the river. Step into the flow of what the Lord is doing. Amen. It's not a tomorrow thing. It's a today thing. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Amen. God is moving today in our lives so that we can reach people. Amen. Amen. These notes just really mean nothing. I'm telling you. But this is what it means to be a follower of Christ. Yeah. That his character, his nature is our nature. Yeah. You might say, what does that have to do with Go Fish? Everything. It has to do with everything. His character, his nature on the inside of us. Amen. We look like Jesus. Like I said, we talk like Jesus. You know, you might find yourself at the supermarket and you're just talking to somebody. And as you're talking to them, they're like, oh, hey, how are things? And you're talking to them. And then they just somehow along the way, they're like, man, you know what? I thought I was talking to Garth. But I feel like I feel like I'm talking to Jesus. You know, I thought that I was just shooting it at the water cooler with David. Not myself, this David. But suddenly, all I can sense is the Father's love. All I can sense is the goodness of God. I gotta have that. I gotta have more of that. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, I just want his love and his revival fire to flow through me to other people. Amen. I want to see people saved. I want to see people changed. I want to see people set free and delivered by the power of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking about this, but man, the times in the presence of the Lord are dangerous. Not dangerous to us, but they're dangerous. They're dangerous to the kingdom of hell. Amen. You know, the devil, I was just thinking, you know, it's a dangerous place. But I was just thinking, you know, that the devil thinks, he's like, man, I got a hold on Bridgeport. I got a hold on Clarksburg. I got a hold on Harrison County. And then one of the demons is like, and then he goes, uh-oh. Those people in the church, they're spending time in the presence of God again. Oh, they're getting people saved again. Oh, they're praying in tongues again. They are, and all the alarm bells start going off. And he's like, you know what? I think it's time we move on. Because we're full of the Spirit of God. Amen. We're ambassadors for his kingdom. Amen. Wherever we are, we're there with the authority of God. Amen. And the devil can't be here because we're here. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, there's something about a group of people that treasure the presence of God. Nothing can stop them. Nothing can stop them. The person that enjoys spending time in the presence of God is a dangerous person. Amen. They, like I said, they start to speak and they start to act like Jesus. But more than that, we love that. We love hearing that. But most of all, their heart starts to become burdened for the lost. They start to feel eternity when they're going around. They start to look at people, man, I gotta talk to that person. If I don't talk to that person, who's gonna talk to that person? They begin to be moved with the love of God. Amen. And that's exactly what Jesus said would happen when we follow him. So the foundation verse, as we start this series, Mark 1, 17. You could turn there. I'll just quote it if that's okay. But it says, come after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. The Amplified says, come after me and be my disciple, and I will make you fishers of men. I actually really like the King James in this version. I'm actually like a, Dr. Ron and I were talking about this the other day. I'm actually like a King James person at heart, but nobody else is, so there's that. There's just something about the King James, you know? But it just says, come ye after me, and I will make you to become. Something is a little bit different there. Come ye after me, that's step one. And I will make you, step two. And because I'm making you, you will become fishers of men. So in that moment, in that brief interchange, Jesus says, hey, come follow me, and I'm gonna give your life definition, I'm gonna give your life purpose, and I'm gonna cause you to become just like me. Amen. And the Bible says in verse 18, they immediately left their nets and followed him. They dropped everything. Amen. And so when we're around Jesus and we begin to follow him and we spend time in his presence, that's the first thing that happens. He begins to break our hearts for the lost. Amen. He begins to break our hearts for people. Amen. That's why when Pastor Luke asked me to kick off this series, I actually had to like take a step back for a few days and just ponder and just look at how amazing the Lord is. Because over the past year, you know, a year today, the Tim Hall meetings kicked off as an example. Over the past year, God's really been doing something amazing in our church. And especially over the past few months, really since January, man, every service, the Lord's presence is just here, like thick. I'm telling you, you could like cut it with a knife. Like the Lord's presence is here. He's moving. And what is the result of that? Exactly what we're seeing is every week, what's happening? More and more people are getting saved. I think about some services maybe 14 months ago and give an altar call and nobody would respond. And then now it's like one person, two people, three people, four people. They don't fit in the room anymore. Five people, six people. Yeah. Amen. And I believe we're going to see more of that. Yeah. Amen. I believe that we're going to see this altar filled with people. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's going to be the weird thing to live around here and not know Jesus. You're going to be the odd one out if you don't know Jesus, because his presence is here. Amen. But this isn't a shock. This isn't a mystery. Like, I wonder what the correlation is and the metric of like, if why people are getting more saved now. Is it the coffee bar is better than it ever has been, or people are saying hi more than ever? No. It's John 13:23. It says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all unto me. Super simple. We're taking time on Sunday, which is, hey, there's no measurement to the service, no like time limit. We're just gonna lift up the name of Jesus. We're just gonna let his presence. Even last week, there's 5 minutes in service when nothing happened. We're just enjoying his presence. And for an unsaved person, that's weird. But they can sense the sweetness of his presence. They can sense the drawing of the Holy Spirit. Say, come. Come. The Bible says that no one comes to Jesus unless the Holy Spirit draws them. So as we make room for the Holy Spirit, people are being drawn. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for people getting saved, right? I said, thank you, Jesus, for people getting saved, right? Yeah, come on. Yeah, we can't just be excited about all the other things of God and not be excited about people getting saved. Amen. Amen. That's the most important thing. That's number one. Amen. Hallelujah. But as amazing as that is, people getting saved every week, I gotta tell you, and it really truly is amazing. The Bible says in Luke 15, over and over again, it says that all of heaven rejoices over one sinner that turns to Jesus or that repents, depending on how you're reading it. But all of heaven's rejoicing, amen? So we're keeping heaven in a perpetual state of partying, which is a good thing. But I gotta tell you something. We only have church one day a week. That's because he wants to use you. Sunday afternoon, the Saturday night, that's when it's on you. Amen. It can't just be Pastor Luke or Pastor Chad, Pastor Josiah, Pastor Jonathan, Pastor Christina. I'm not going to say my own name, sorry. But it can't just be us just getting people saved. How limiting is that? Man, God wants to use every single one of us to reach the lost. And that's what being a disciple of Jesus means. It means that we become like him. We become exactly like him. When people interact with us, they're interacting with Jesus. They feel his love. They feel his joy. They feel his peace. All those fruits of the Spirit that Pastor Chad was talking about on Wednesday. You know, you begin to feel the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, the very nature of God through us. That's what it means to be a disciple. Amen. Follow after me, and I will make you become fishers of men. As followers of Jesus, we have a heavenly assignment to go after the lost. Amen. It's also one of our church values, right? We go. Jesus left the 99 to go after the one, and we will too. Amen. I'm thankful for a church that says one of our core values is we actually go after the lost, because there's a lot of churches that have settled for Christian entertainment when we need to be going after the lost. Yeah. The church has resigned entertaining Christians instead of reaching the lost. That's not our church, but just in general. And we wonder why our country looks like it does. Because we're just in the entertainment business. We're just Hulu in person during the week or whatever. We're just the show. We're so busy. Hey, we're the show instead of just putting Jesus on display. All that he does. Amen. He saves, he heals, he delivers. Amen. He doesn't need a fireworks show or whatever to do that. Amen. He just does that. That's what he does. Amen. But more than a church value, it's our divine calling. Regardless of whatever your job title, your position, or your station in life looks like, the overarching theme of your life is to be a soul winner. You know, there's people in this room that I used to work for. And that is something to this day that I still admire about them so greatly, is that God used their business really to reach people for the lost. And I've been around them and I've seen the interactions that they have with people. So it doesn't matter if you're in business, you're a soul winner. Amen. As a matter of fact, I would say if you're a business owner and you prize being a soul winner, your business will be blessed. Just like the disciples, you know, they welcomed Jesus into their boat, and what happened? Their business was blessed. Amen. So if you become a soul winner above all else, God will take care of you. You worry about building his house, he'll build your house. That's not in here, once again. Amen. But our number one purpose, our number one goal, our number one target in life is to be a fisher of men. It's to go after people. Amen. Do you realize that there's people that you know, it's real simple, but there's people that you know that I'll never know? And God has called you to those people. Amen. I don't know them because he's called you to know them. He's called you to be the impact on their life. He's called you and caused you to reach them with the gospel. Amen. So just in case you think that like I'm just making this stuff up, let's turn in our Bible to Mark chapter 16. Amen. I'll give you a moment to get there. Thank you, Jesus. If you're there, say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So I'll read now. And it says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And verse 20 says, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. Once again, King James is better here in verse 20. It says, and they went out, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders following. I like that better. So it's important to realize, like, even if you have a ministry or there's ministries that you're into or whatever, if that ministry isn't preaching the gospel, then I would question if it's like a Jesus ministry. That's not in here, sorry. But we can see something here. So like signs and wonders, those can be set aside if there's not the gospel being preached. Because the first thing here in Mark 16 is go into all the world and preach the gospel, and these signs follow that. Amen. And that was true of Jesus's ministry as well. The Bible says in Luke 4:18, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord's favor. Amen. But number one thing in Jesus' ministry before healing, before setting free, before delivering, is preaching the gospel. That's number one. That's our number one thing. We're preaching the gospel. Amen. And then the signs and wonders are easy. Amen. Because why? We're lifting him up and he does what he does. Amen. It's important for you to know just like that verse said, that the Lord wants to work with you to reach people. I think a lot of us are like, Lord, use me. He's like, I'm waiting on you. I want to work with you. I want to work with you. Just give me an opportunity. Give me an opportunity. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro about the earth, seeking someone who he can show himself mighty or strong on their behalf. He's looking for you. He's waiting for you. Tell that person about Jesus. Well, they don't like me. Tell them. I want to show them my power. I want to show them my glory. I want to heal their heart. I want to restore their marriage. I want to set them free from addiction. Just tell them. Just give me an opportunity and I'll do what I do. Yeah. Amen. And that's what these times are all about. We're spending time in the presence of the Lord. But ultimately, it's so that we can get filled up with the Spirit of God here. So we can go pour it out on other people in the world. Amen. People getting saved is just the next step of being in the presence of God. And you see that in Acts chapter 2. They were all gathered in one place, in one accord. And then there came a sound as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house. Cloven tongues of fire appeared above each of their heads, and they spoke in other tongues. And then what happened? They just stayed in the upper room, and they gave each other high fives, and they're like, hey, man, let's have some donuts, a coffee. No, the Bible says that that meeting spilled out onto the street, that all people came around to see what is happening. What is happening? These people, they got to be drunk. And Peter doesn't go, hey, man, you missed out. We had coffee and donuts a few minutes ago, and we got to roll on the ground and giggle and laugh and stuff. No, he said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. But this is that which was foretold by the prophet Joel, and I'm not going to quote the whole scripture. But then Peter begins to lead them all to the Lord. And the Bible says that the result of that encounter with God was that 3,000 people got saved in a day. Don't think that's reserved for the book of Acts. That's how God wants to use each and every one of us today. I'm telling you, you could set your faith to what I just said a few minutes ago, that it would be the odd thing to be an unbeliever around here. And God wants to use us to do it. What a privilege it is to co-labor with the Lord. Amen. And you just simply cannot be around God who is love and not love people like he does. So if you're around something that you think is God, but it's not making you love people more, then it may not be the Lord. But this is the presence of the Lord, man. You're getting filled up with his love. You're getting the burden for the lost. You're getting the passion for the lost. Amen. And he's putting his love on you so he can get it through you to other people. Amen. Everybody okay? Cool. What does the Bible say in John 13, 35? It says that they will know that you are my disciples by your love. They will know that you belong to me because you love like me. Amen. So I want to tell you, it's not a mistake that you're in these services where the presence of God is moving. It's intentional. It's a setup. That famous Star Wars line, it's a trap. It's a setup. You've been snared. You've been brought in here for a reason. The Lord laid a hold of you and brought you into his house, and he's saved you, and he's put his presence on you for a reason. Amen. You know, one thing I really love is this past month, Pastor Luke did such a fantastic job, Pastor John too, about preaching about the Holy Spirit. And we learned all about his office. We learned all about his operations. We learned about his character. He's the comforter, the strengthener, the advocate, the standby, the paraclete, the one that comes alongside to assist in time of need. But he's also one other thing. He's the one that empowers. Amen. He's the one that empowers us to be a witness. Amen. Let's read Acts chapter 1 together this morning. If you could turn in your Bible there. If I just run around the place, just don't be alarmed. I've been up since 3 this morning. Just wanted to get here. Man, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. And I'm going to read through verse 5. It says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them to not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." This is Jesus referring back to John the Baptist, but John the Baptist in Luke 3:16, he refers to Jesus and he says, "I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me whose sandal strap I'm not even worthy to undo. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." Amen. So something happens when the Holy Ghost comes upon us. And that's why Jesus told them to wait. He said, "What? If you want to have my kind of ministry, you can't do it by yourself. You need to have the Holy Spirit." Amen. Verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So there's a couple things to unpack there. Number one, Jesus presented himself alive with infallible proof. That's things that can't be denied, things that can't be explained, things that can't just be written off. Well, hey, you know, like the wind was blowing in the right direction and it's probably that thing. Or maybe they weren't really deaf. Or if you talk like that, you sound like a Pharisee. Anyway, but no, like he presented himself alive. Like people knew. The Bible says over, like it talks about how over 500 people witnessed him after he came back to life. Amen. But then don't go do the ministry that I'm telling you to do until you receive the Holy Spirit. Why? Luke 4, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me." He's equipped me to do ministry. So we need the same Spirit that's on Jesus to do what? Verse 8, to be witnesses of me. What is a witness? There's some attorneys in the room and they can maybe help you. But for my simple thinking, a witness is living proof of something, living evidence that something is real. So the moment that the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we become infallible proof that Jesus is alive. Amen. His anointing comes on us to prove that he's alive. The Bible says that he's the head, and we're his body. Amen. So we're just the living today on the earth extension of who he is. And he's given us as his body the power to work his ministry. Amen. Also from that, Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria. We can read that. Hey, I'm good. I don't live in the Middle East. Cool. But also to the end or the uttermost parts of the earth. To be a witness to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's where we live. Uttermost parts of the earth includes West Virginia. Amen. It includes Harrison County. Amen. If you don't live in Harrison County, Marion, or whatever other county you live in, it's in there. You're the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. And he's given you the power and the anointing to be a witness of him there. Amen. So, because we are his followers, his disciples, like the Bible says in Mark 1, like we read earlier, because we are believers, like Mark 16, because we are filled with the Holy Spirit, like Acts 1, super simple. We're called to reach people for Jesus. Amen? And he's given us the anointing to do it. And that is why you are here. That's why you're alive right now. You know, a few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to minister at the youth revival, and that was something that the Lord put on my heart. You know, you could have been alive at any other time in history. You know, you watch movies and you're like, man, it would have been awesome to live like in the 1800s and be a gunslinger, or it would have been cool to live even 50 years ago and I'd be a greaser, or whatever that looks like. I don't know time, sorry. I grew up in the 90s, so it was 50, 40, 50 years ago. But, or I could have lived in the 1600s. I'd have been an awesome explorer. Or I could have even lived at the time of Jesus and I would have been an awesome follower. Actually, you probably would have been terrible at it because Jesus has called you to live right now. God perfectly formed and fashioned and created you and you're the gifting that's on your life to live right now. There's something that only you can do and there's a people that only you can reach and they're alive now. They wouldn't have been alive 50 years ago, maybe, but they wouldn't have been alive 100 years ago. And they're alive today and God has an anointing on your life to reach them. And as his disciple, it's your job to go get them. You know, going to the idea of go fish. I love bass fishing. Doesn't look like it, but I do. You can laugh, it's okay. I'm a big fan of making fun of myself. But I actually really love bass fishing, but I've never caught a fish while sitting on my couch. I actually have to get up and I have to go out to where the fish are to find some fish. Amen. So we have to get up. We have to go out into all the world and catch some fish. Amen. That's what he's called us to do. That's what he's anointed you to do. Amen. So we need to have a mindset change. I'm almost done. But we need to have a mindset change. At the risk of sounding like John F. Kennedy, which he's a pretty cool guy. But we need to stop coming around the things of God for, God, what can you do to me? What can you do for me? God, what can you do for me? That's not a kingdom mindset. A kingdom mindset is, Lord, how can you fill me to reach other people? What do you want to put on the inside of me to get to somebody else? How do you want me to carry this? And who do you want me to carry it to? That's a kingdom mindset. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. So there's a kingdom to seek or there's self to seek. But a kingdom is about other people. Yes, you're here. Yes, you're receiving today. But that's just because he loves you. But it's also because he loves somebody else. Amen. He wants to fill you to get something to somebody else. Amen. So that's what, whether you're a preacher, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a nurse, whether you're a high school student, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, you're called to reach people to Jesus, plain and simple. And he's put your anointing, he put his anointing on you to do it. Amen. You may not feel like it, but you're a missionary right where you are. You're a missionary to the people around you. You know, going back to that work example I shared earlier with the people I used to work for, that was something that they always said, is, you know what? We know confidently that we are marketplace missionaries, and that's why God has us in business. And man, it was just so cool to be a part of that because I got to see that. Hey, these are people that are living it. These are people that are doing it. Amen. Whatever your station is in life, you're called to reach people. You're a missionary there. You're called to be a fisher of men. Amen. Follow after me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. Another way, like I said earlier, is follow after me, become my disciple, and I'll make you just like me. I'll make you just like me. Amen. I want to read one more scripture just in closing. We can have the team come up. It's in Matthew chapter 9. There's a lot of ways you could go with this, but I want to just zero in on one thing, maybe five things. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm closing our famous last words for any preacher. But Matthew chapter 9, we'll start in verse 35. It says, then Jesus went about. Like I said, you know, Jesus didn't just sit still. He went about. He went someplace. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of sickness and disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his field. The harvest is obviously souls, and last time I had the opportunity to minister, I talked about that part, but let's talk about the first part. Jesus went everywhere, so automatically Jesus is going around and he's preaching the gospel. So if we're like him, then that's what we should do, right? But it says when he looked at the people, when he looked at the multitudes, he said, those people are lost. They're weary, they're scattered. It says that he was moved with compassion for them. Now, compassion is an interesting word choice there because there's a difference between compassion and empathy. You know, empathy says, hey, I feel bad for you. I feel bad. You know, you drive on the street. Oh, I feel bad that you're begging. That stinks. At least it's not me. Or I feel bad that, you know, you don't know what it's like to serve the Lord. I feel bad. But empathy ends the moment that there's an inconvenience to ourselves. I feel bad, but at least it's not me. But the Bible doesn't say that Jesus is moved with empathy. It says that he was moved with compassion. And the difference is empathy says, I feel bad for you, but compassion says, I feel what you feel and I have to do something about it. I feel what you feel. I feel what it means to be lost. I feel what it means to be struggling. I feel what it means to feel whatever you're feeling. And I've got to do something about it. And it moves us past a place of inconvenience to where it's 100% about other people. And God exemplified that. He didn't just say, hey, I feel bad that you're gonna bust hell wide open because you're a sinner. He said, I feel what you feel and I've got to do something about it. So I'm going to come down to earth as the person of Jesus in flesh. I'm going to live a life and I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to be whipped and I'm going to put a crown of thorns on my head. I'm going to be stabbed in my side and I'm going to go to a sinner's death that I don't deserve because I feel what you feel. And I have to do something about it. You know, that's God's response to Adam and Eve in the garden. When he finds out that they fell, he doesn't just say, hey, it stinks to be you now. Have a good day. His immediate response to the devil himself is that, hey, I see what you did, and now I'm going to do something about it. And he put the plan in action. He said that her offspring will crush your head, and you will bruise his heel. And if you actually study, there's a little small genealogy right after that. Just all the people that led all the way from Adam to Noah. And in that, if you study that out, it actually says that man, if you can like translate the names, it says man is appointed sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down and his death shall bring them comfort. God had a plan. Immediately he has a plan of action. Immediately, I've got to do something about it. I'm going to do something about it. And so, if we're followers of Jesus, we can't just say, hey, I feel bad that the people around me are going into a lost eternity. We need to say this, hey, I felt that way. And I know how the Lord touched and changed my life. I know how he forgave me. I know how he set me free. And now I have to do the same for somebody else. And that's what Jesus tells the disciples to do. Just a couple of verses down. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. So Jesus saw the need. He said, the harvest is ripe. Laborers are few. Now go. So he immediately sends the disciples out. He is immediately moved to action. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. So right away, let's just pause there, going back to Mark 1. Follow after me, I'll make you become just like me. This is a great example of discipleship. If you want to know what it means to make a disciple, everything that Jesus did in Matthew 9, the disciples are now doing it in Matthew 10. But this is the key right here to sharing the gospel. There's lots of methods. You can invite people to church. You can come soul winning. You can join the outreach team. A lot of different ways. Invite people to Easter. We have Easter cards back there. But you say, I don't know if I can do it. Well, here's how you can do it. The last part of this verse. Freely you have received. Now freely give. So whatever the Lord has done in your life, you just begin to share that with other people. If the Lord healed your body, go find some sick people. He's not a respecter of persons. If he did it for me, he's gonna do it for you. If the Lord has blessed you, if he set you free from addiction, go find some addicted people and put your hands on them and say, you foul spirit of addiction, you come out of them now in Jesus' name. Just like he did for me, he's gonna do for you. And it'll happen. You guys live that all the time. Actually, when I wrote that, I was thinking of you. Freely you have received, and freely you're giving. And that's awesome. That's a great encouragement to me. Freely you have received. Freely. What has the Lord done in your life? So coming back to like what I started with, we're spending time in the presence of God and he's doing all kinds of things in these meetings. There's no way that Pastor Luke or myself or Pastor Chad or Pastor Josiah or any pastor here, we can know exactly what you need. But the Holy Spirit does. And so as you're spending time in his presence, he's ministering to every single person. You know, one of the Tim Hall nights, I think it's the night that Pastor Chad caught me when I was falling on my face right here. There's a night where it was just completely quiet. And in that moment, it's like I could even perceive that Jesus was just walking the aisle. What do you need? Done. What do you need? Done. What do you need? Done. And Jesus was just ministering to every single person according to their need. And the reason I'm saying that is because the Lord is ministering to you in your individual way so that when you leave here today, you can go put that on somebody else. Here's an invitation to Easter at Center Branch. But what do you have need of now? Let's deal with it now. So that when we come to Easter, we can just celebrate together the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Almost done, Pastor John, sorry. It's important to realize this. The only thing that you can take to heaven with you, it's not money, it's not your car, it's nothing else. The only thing that you can take to heaven with you is other people. That's it. Nothing else. So rather than throwing your life all over the place trying to attain those things, how about we work together to plunder hell and populate heaven? Amen? Let's make sure that when the devil's like, oh, it's time to open up the shop, it's empty. Amen. Man, that's what God wants to do. That's why we're here on this planet. We're not just here to fill up a void in time and space. We're here because we're called to live here. We're called to be alive right now. Amen. And if I could just give one more example, just saying that like all of heaven, sorry, the only thing we can take to heaven is one more person. Has anybody ever seen the movie Schindler's List? It's not a family movie. Don't go home and watch that with your kids. But there's a scene at the end of that movie where Oscar Schindler, just brief history lesson, he was actually a war profiteer. Halfway through that, the Jewish people that worked for him, they got brought to a concentration camp anyway. He ended up selling a lot of the things that he owned to save the people, to buy them back and for them to work in his factory. He ended up saving somewhere between 1,000 and 1,200 people. And at the end of that movie, it's a true story, all of the people are coming around and they're thanking him in the middle of the street. Thank you, Mr. Schindler. Thank you, thank you, thank you for saving me. Thank you for doing that. And in that moment, he's not thinking about the 1,000 that are saved. He says, look at this watch. This watch, this could have been 2 more people. This car, it could have been 10 more people. Why do I even have a car? My ring, this ring could have been 5 people. I don't want that to be the case when I get to heaven. I don't want to be like, man, I could have just got one more person. If I could have just reached one more or reached five more. And that's not going to be us. Amen? That's not going to be us. Because we're going to make the most of every opportunity that the Lord gives us to reach people for Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Well, that's this week's message. Thanks for joining us. To stay connected with us throughout the week, make sure you follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You can also watch previous week's services on our YouTube page.